Help us keep the shows flowing to your ears. Go to explorationsearlylearning.com, click on the Support Our Work tab, and show us a little bit of love. Welcome to the Child Care Bar and Grill Podcast. Jeff Johnson coming to you live from upstairs studio. Oh, people, the studio is full today. Lisa Murphy.
Hello.
Tasha.
Aloha.
We got Engineer Tiffany.
Hey, that's
and
me.
And sitting in, we got Josie.
Hi.
Josie, how you doing?
I'm great.
Found out, I confirmed last night that Josie has a dark side, so we might dig into that in a future episode. Josie has lots of great stories she's unwilling to tell in front of a recorder, so
I would like to still have friends in real life.
I don't have any, and I'm doing fine.
What are those?
Before we're done recording, we're going to be getting Josie some wine and plumbing the depths of her darkness.
Plumbing the depths of her darkness. Trolling the dark that is Josie.
And so we're starting a new series. It's called Messages from the Interwebs. This is part one because I just said we're starting it. we're just going to use this as a way of, stuff we hear from the interwebs. What do you got, Lisa?
I got a message on Facebook this morning, and she shared with us that she respectfully tries to educate people about being developmentally appropriate. And when she does, she says she gets treated like she's a bully. And she says with like exclamation points, "I don't know how you do it. I had to leave a preschool teacher group because of all the lack of DAP that was being pushed. These folks have great ideas, but they're so stuck in an academic push and they refuse to grow as educators." So she said she was really glad that she discovered us before she fell into kind of being a part of that, succumbing to the academic push. And then did a follow-up comment that said she hopes to bring some of her staff to come and see a workshop. So we thought that this perhaps tied in with one of the suggestions that we got for topics this week, which was how do you approach non-developmentally appropriate, non-DAP colleagues and staff?
I mean, why approach them in the first place? Do we have to approach them? Can't we just steer clear?
Well, I think if you're working under the same roof, right, if we're back to that inconsistency problem that we teacher A does it this way, teacher B, and potentially admin is lacking the wherewithal or whatnot to get in there and make it a little more consistent.
We're the doo-wop girls.
Apparently.
we got backup singers.
Backup singers are sharing a microphone. They're going to both jump in to say something, going to knock their heads together.
Spatial awareness.
What was the first part of that when she felt, how did she felt?
She said she's feeling like a bully when she is attempting to educate people on what DAP is. She's
okay.
Feeling like.
Is she being a bully bear?
I don't know what that means, but I think I don't want to read into this, but as I'm reading this, I'm getting that she feels that she's being considered a bully because she's trying to educate people about DAP. People are seeing her as a bully.
Well, this brings me to one of my favorite new buzzwords, crybullying. Crybullies are people who use who take on the position of victim to make the other person, to have power over the other person. So they'll label somebody as a bully and they take on that victim, that position of a victim
persona.
And use that as a power position, actually. And so some people, if you have a differing opinion than them, they'll make you into a bully so they can have power over you because bullying is bad.
It also then allows me to not have to deal with the fact that maybe what you're pointing out is 100% accurate.
Absolutely. Because if you're a bully, then I don't have to give it any credence or attention. And so first, I think you should wear the fact that people think you're bullying them as a badge of honor. It's irritating for a while. It doesn't feel comfortable, but grow some rhino skin and realize if you're going to speak up for what you believe in, you're going to have to deal with that sometimes. And it's nice when flowers bloom and everybody hugs and we live
and
in that
a unicorn
world. But, yeah, a unicorn farts cotton candy and we all live joyfully together, but that rarely happens in the real world. And so a little bit of, you know,
well, and she does mention preschool group. I'm going to assume that means something on
online.
The interwebs.
Yeah.
And we have all kind of gone down that slippery slope rabbit hole.
How many of those do you participate in, Lisa Murphy?
None.
I don't either. I've got this ongoing problem on the interwebs as people keep adding me to these groups and I keep removing myself and then they add me again and then I remove myself. And then they add me again, and I remove myself, and then they add me again, and then I gotta say, why the fuck do you keep adding me to this group? I don't wanna be in the group. I've removed myself 8 times. Have you seen that happen? Why do you keep putting me back here? I don't do it like that. That would
bully. You're such a bully.
That would, yeah, it's just,
Are they hoping you will speak up and make the group go the,
no, I think they're just nice people and they think I should belong. I don't know what's happening, and I really don't yell at them like that.
Actually, one, Play Powers, Keisha's, would you consider that a group?
It is a group.
That's a group.
I don't participate, but I'll watch it. But I don't jump. I don't jump on.
I don't even do that anymore because there's some crazy shit going on there at one time, and
So to that, I would say that if you're trying, you can't probably change anybody's mind, in a one sentence post with 400 people that you don't even know. So that might have been a little futile in the first place. But when it comes to the actual people that you're dealing with on a face-to-face level, and to go back to my example of teacher A doing it this way, teacher B, and like you've got 99 programs under one roof, I think that's a serious problem and requires attention. Now, how you're going to go about approaching it, I think that depends on where you might be on the hierarchy of that particular program. And what you were told when you were hired. I feel like a broken record. I feel like I've come back to these same three issues the last, you know, three episodes. You know, what does it say in the handbook? What does it say in the employee expectations? What were you told when you interviewed? Were you told something different in the interview than actually what is actually happening? And so now there's some inconsistency there. You know, do you need to have a meeting with admin, with your lead teacher? But a conversation needs to start.
Well, let's start that conversation with the two people that are sitting at microphones right now who actually work in programs currently. How do you deal with this, Josie and Tiffany?
Well, I'm the bully in my program. At the last staff meeting, I was allowed to attend. I made
the last one you were allowed to attend.
At the last staff meeting you were allowed to attend. Does that mean you haven't been allowed to attend staff meetings since then, or does that mean that was the last staff meeting? Yes.
It's been agreed that maybe it's just better if I don't come.
That's wow. How does that happen?
It's not that, and it was partly my idea because everyone gets so angry with me. I made someone cry and think about quitting last time because I don't even remember what it was. I just made a suggestion. Oh no, I know what it was. I suggested that maybe we shouldn't force children to come to circle time. And people just don't like being told they're wrong. It makes them feel threatened. And if we know better, then I feel like it is our job in a program where you have lots of, like you said, lots of separate programs going on trying to educate.
And do you, I'm assuming you have some kind of an employee handbook staff expectation of sort of what you're expected to do.
Yes.
And does it say in there that children are mandated to come to circle time?
No, it does not.
Okay, so there's the point of entry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering where you think, where did this come from? You're thinking that everybody needs to come to circle time. Let's talk through that.
Well, you made me come to the staff meeting. I didn't want to come to the staff meeting.
Well, I am also in the position, like you said, it depends on where you're at on the hierarchy. I'm not the boss, so I think sometimes when I make suggestions, it's, who are you? You just teach across the hall from me.
Hmm.
So there's not a willingness to have that peer-to-peer interaction and discussion mm-hmm. about things. And if any of you have any, I mean, listening to Josie for a few minutes, you can tell that she's a real overpowering bully of a person. if you were going to look up the dictionary definition of kind and sweetness, there'd be Josie's picture right there next to it. I mean, we're in the staff meeting. Were you standing up on a chair and pointing your finger at this person and yelling at them?
No, I was sitting behind them, just talking.
Was there an eye roll involved at all?
Probably yes.
Yeah. I may have been.
But if you were behind them.
They couldn't see.
They couldn't see it, so.
Oh, you can feel.
And I will own that. That sometimes I just get so frustrated. Because I feel like we have the same conversation over and over and over again that I'm sure it shows, and I'm sure I don't approach it in the kindest, sweetest way possible.
But isn't that a talking point? We've come back to this same thing.
You have to keep coming back to it over and over again. Of course you're going to get frustrated with it.
I'm sorry. I got to lean in and get jokes.
Just turn it.
Hello. Turning it back.
Thank you.
So does that become a strategy then when we're trying to reach out for these people to these people? And it's the thousandth time that we've had to bring the same issue up. Do we need to remember check the body language?
Not what we say, but how we say it.
Because and so maybe those of us who are trying to get those messages across, maybe we need to be a little bit more aware of how we approach those things so that we can maybe for the 4,000th time, something's going to click for them. Because, I mean, the reality is, for new ideas, for people to engage with new ideas, they got to hear them over and over and over again before they're ready to internalize them. And so if it comes with an eye roll, it narrows the point of entry for the idea. And so maybe the way we present themselves, Josie stops eye rolling. I stop being an asshole about the way I say things.
They have to sign a contract before the next staff meeting.
The planets align and everything.
I mean, for Josie and me, those are two things. I mean, and I really work on being less of a sarcastic asshole online. Truly, I have. Some people might not recognize it, but over the last couple of years is something I've tried to do. Because one thing I don't think online people, I don't think people understand. I don't think people get sarcasm. I don't think they.
It doesn't.
Get,
it's not a medium for that.
I don't think
if
they
there's
get,
no relationship.
I don't think they get subtle. The other day there's a Fisher Price.
Do you know how many people posted that to me this morning?
There's a Fisher Price preschool bar set. It's photoshopped. Some dude made it up. Adam somebody. It's hilarious. Awesome. And I reshared this. And I mean, most people get it, but there were people that were. Is this for real?
I was like, is this for real? Cause this is awesome and I need one.
No, but then there was somebody telling everybody, this is,
just so
this is photoshopped.
Like in case you thought Fisher Price would make a fortune if they actually sold this.
And
somebody from Fisher Price is listening right now going, what was it? What is it? Should we make one?
And then it's for kids up, and someone comments the bartender, the kid behind it didn't look like he was
obviously
three.
Not three yet. And somebody commented that they finally get to play Cheers. And I think somebody commented that they only served natural organic breast milk from Finnish mothers or something like that, which is hilarious. But the subtlety, the sarcasm, innuendo, people, there's a lot we lose in the way we communicate face to face in online communication. So I think we need to be a little bit more aware of how we do it there, because a lot of the language we may be used to using is taken as an eye roll by people on the interwebs. And so I guess the way we engage them, and I think that's where the problems on those groups comes in, because people talk past each other And it's always about escalating. And that doesn't go any place good.
Or when you're reading the post, what frame of mind are you in? What mood are you in? How are you going to read into this? Because some days you can read and go, oh yeah, and let it blow off. And other days it's like, rah, 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 rah.
Or where am I joining in the context? Okay, this actually like 3 days ago and I'm just getting to the party and now I'm going to like kind of poke the sleeping bear
things have just cooled down.
Right. And then Lisa gets involved. Yeah. I distinctly remember one time that I did post something and then I like hid under my dining room table and I texted Jeff and said, I'm hiding under the table.
Yeah. And I said, grow some rhino skin. Go ahead.
I think it's possible to have this good discussion on the internet though. And I think it involves more sportscasting than anyone realizes.
What do you mean?
Not just us, but like anyone on the internet. I've had some really good discussions with strangers in Facebook groups, and it usually stems from a point of both of us agreeing, I love a good discussion. This is fun for me. Let's continue. Because I think so often, like that's what you're aiming for, but until that's explicitly said on the internet, it feels aggressive. It feels like bullying. Mm. You feel like the bad guy because somebody then like reposted a 4-page long response when really the person on the other end is like, their brain's going, they're in flow state, they've got 12 tabs open. And you don't get the visual cues, you don't get the social cues mm-hmm. that you do in real life that both parties are having fun. So I think that.
Do you think that's disarmed sometimes? Disarming? When you say, hey, this is still pleasurable for me, let's keep going, and people then read that, like you're almost needing. So when you say sportscasting, like, do you mean like that you're broadcasting what your body language might be doing?
Yeah.
That's what you mean by that?
Oh. Yeah.
I've never thought about that.
I'm interested in this conversation and your point of view.
My eyes are open.
Yeah.
Exactly. I have on a play face.
Let's throw some emojis in there.
There you go. Parentheses. I am being sarcastic. Or this is awesome. Let's continue.
Yeah.
Or depending on who you are, eye roll.
Yeah. That is my favorite emoji.
Do you think emojis assist us in being more quote unquote social online like that then? Or that they serve up more a purpose than something silly and, you know, what I'm saying? They might serve.
I'm particularly thinking of the like teeth, eyes open, like, ooh. I don't know how I feel about this. That's the other thing that happens on the internet a lot. People will say a thing, or at least I will say a thing. And then afterwards I'll be like, oh, I don't know if that, I don't know how I feel about this. Like, do I even agree with what I just said? As I like word vomit typed and hit send. Exactly.
Plus, sometimes it's hard to put what you're thinking into words also, or you type it out and go, well, that's not coming across right. And then you mm-hmm. try to redo it and you say, just never mind. I'm not adding anything to the mm-hmm. conversation then.
Mm-hmm. And so another strategy I try to use online is instead of making a lot of declarative statements, I'm asking questions.
Yeah.
And, sometimes the questions are, do you have any citations for that? And then when I hear crickets, cricket, cricket, mm-hmm. I hear cricket emoji. No, that's not, they don't even say cricket.
We should make
emoji.
A cricket emoji.
Cricket.
To go
cricket.
With the fingers crossed emoji. Jeez Louise, where is that?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just something, it seems to work.
I ask a lot. About what do you mean by that?
Yeah, that kind of stuff. Because
tell me what you mean by challenging behavior in the classroom. And then I'll get the crickets and then I'll.
Yeah, or you get that person that really wants to engage. And what that does is it clarifies for me what they're trying to say and gives me a better understanding of what they're trying to say. But for them, I think it actually, they got to.
Be a little bit
more specific about how they're trying to say
before
it.
Before I'm willing to be engaged.
Yeah, because a lot of times it's just a quick.
Well, and I've told that story before too. When I first started being on the road back way before there was Facebook and stuff, it was just be an email. So I'd get this 5-page, if you printed out email of somebody with this situation or their scenario. And I would spend, you know, 25 minutes typing back only to have it bounce back because it was like their time was up at the public Wi-Fi or whatever. And it only took, because I'm a quick study, it took about three times before I'm like, you know what? Hold, let's approach this differently. So I started what I still do to this day, which is, wow, this sounds like a phone call. Please give a call and we'll go from there. And I still get those emails and I say, sounds like a phone call. And maybe that's because I'm old. You know, if it's going to take me longer to type what we could have in a banter over the phone, I don't do that. And I, very few people will respond. And so in a way, I'm glad that I was a sounding board. Like, if you, do you feel better just because you hit send to a neutral party? You can bitch about your coworker. I'm never going to see that person. If you feel better, awesome. However, I still extended that invitation that if you want to keep this going, give a call.
Yeah, well, part of that is because that you don't hear from people because you're one of the only the six remaining people on the planet who still likes talking on the phone.
I do not like talking on the phone. I do not like talking on the phone at all.
You say typing less.
I like typing yes. What?
You like typing less than talking?
I don't like typing out what could be, because then it turns into 15 email exchanges, and it could have been one 20-minute phone call.
It should turn into one blog post.
Jeff is trying to convince me.
Well, no, I'm just saying that it's there. And then the next time you get that same question, you just send them there for the response.
Yeah, but
read this, and if you need more answered or have a comment, email.
Oh,
me.
Fair enough. Not like go find it on my blog somewhere. Just keep searching. You'll find it.
Well, no, you give them
then they forget what they're asked. And
no, if it's very long and very specific or very much like, I'm not sure where this is going, I put the invitation to give me a call. Yeah, and most time they don't.
That's nice of you.
I know.
I hate talking on the phone so much I can never do that.
I don't either. It's not my preferred way of communicating at all. But I dislike the 15 email banters.
Tiffany loves talking
less,
on the phone.
More.
So you could just send them
on the phone,
her way?
Really? I have sat and talked on the phone with my co-teacher, who I see every day for 4 hours on the weekend.
Oh my gracious.
While we like do our laundry. I love talking on the phone. It's so fun.
I've never.
And episode creep. It's probably time to wrap this one up. We'll be back with a scintillating phone.
Why I hate talking on the phone.
We'll do a telephone episode coming up for those of you who are just getting into it. But let's wrap this one up. Any last comments on the original topic?
No. Well, which was what?
Messages from the interwebs, part one.
I thought of one thing.
Okay.
So the way I have made a positive impact on other staff members that they have told me about is really not so much what I say, but what they see me doing with my kids. Mm-hmm. And they see that it works. There has been a lot more messy play allowed in classrooms since I started, just because they see how engaged the kids are into it and how much they're learning from it. So I would say, you know, if the words you are saying aren't making a difference, maybe just making sure other teachers are seeing you model DAP in the classroom.
Mm-hmm. And I think the other thing that happens with that, and we've said it before, is that what Sharon Kroll taught me, creative teachers are not born. They're made by the teacher next door, right? I start to see it successful. So I can then steal that from you without it looking like you came in and told me what I should be doing different.
Yep.
I would also add that one person's message will not change someone's mind. It takes at least two people to triangulate and make that change. So even if everything you say is true, they're going to go to some workshop and come back later and be like, well, I just went to this awesome workshop and they told me that I should be using more messy play. And you're like, yeah, man, I've been telling you that forever.
Dude, I had to bring people into my center. I had to like pay Dan and Hugh Hansley to come talk to my staff, and they'd be like, oh my God, Lisa, it was so awesome. And I'm standing there like banging my head against, like, don't you know who you work for? You could shaving cream this entire room. I wouldn't care. And like, Dan said, like, oh my God. But yes, that's so true. Well, and that's why I push people out of the nest. I tell them, you've been coming to my workshops too much. You need to go. I don't care who you go to, because you either need to to reinforce what we're saying with other people, that it's not just us in this vacuum, or you need to go hear other people who potentially challenge it and then decide which, you know, which way you're going to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the way we do that online is with the photos and the video clips and one or two very short sentences about what's going on there. And people start seeing that kind of stuff and they, I mean, over time, it's like sushi learning. It's just bite-sized little bits that they grab a hold of. And over time, that's actually a term. That's a buzzword. Over time, you know, you see that from a bunch of feeds, and over time you think, maybe that's something I should try out. And so we've had success with that too. Anything else? All right. We'll be back soon with a telephone, episode. Yes. This has been the Child Care.
I will not be participating.
This has been the Child Care Bar and Grill. We thank you for supporting. We thank you for listening. We thank you for sharing. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production. Oh.